We are continuing with our sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit today. As you know, the Apostle Paul has given us a list of qualities that should be present in those who follow Jesus Christ, one of which is kindness. Now, I find it easy to be kind to those people who are kind to me, but true kindness goes much deeper than that. You see, when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, we are able to practice kindness in really tough situations and with people we might not want to be kind to. I think Jesus's parable of the Good Samaritan can help deepen our understanding of what kindness is really about. And you'll find this story in the Gospel of Luke. I think for many people, this story helps us think about what it means to be a good neighbor, but it also teaches us a lot about what kindness is. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open to the 10th chapter of Luke. I'll read verses 25 through 37, and the words will also be on our screen. And today I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. So let's listen now to these words of Scripture. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." I'm afraid it doesn't take much effort to point out examples of mean and ugly behavior. We really do see it more frequently than we care to remember. You know, we see bullies, and we see bullish and bullyish type of behavior from people in the workplace and in schools. We watch drivers cut people off in traffic and make obscene gestures, and we hear lots of hateful language on the airways. You know, stuff like this just makes the world feel like a miserable place. So the question is, what can we do about it? Well, our faith teaches us to practice kindness. A few years ago, a writer from North Carolina named Stephen Petro published an article about kindness in the Washington Post. Now, he told a story about visiting one of his favorite bakery shops, and apparently it has amazing scones. Well, one day he was craving one of these scones, and so he went there, and was as he was sitting in line, he noticed that the supply of those scones was shrinking. By the time that he got to the counter, there was only one scone left. And so he pointed to it, and he said, "I'll have that one." Well, the guy who was standing right behind him in line said, "You can't do that. That's my scone. I've been waiting 20 minutes for it." Well, Stephen had every right to that scone. He'd been waiting in line for it. So what do you think Stephen said to the guy who was standing behind him? Now, he could have said, "Sorry, buddy, it's mine." But that's not what he did. He said, "I'll split it with you." Now, the other guy was completely shocked. And he didn't say anything for a moment, but then he accepted the offer. And then he made a suggestion of his own. He said, "Why don't I buy another pastry and we split both of them together?" And that's what they did. They went outside, grabbed a bench, and shared their food with one another. Now, these two men had nothing in common. They were complete strangers. But an act of kindness connected them with one another. Acts of kindness often speak louder than any words we may use. That great theologian, Mark Twain, once said, "Kindness is the language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see." Kindness is powerful, and it's the way of Jesus. Now think about all the times that Jesus showed kindness to other people. Now, he showed kindness at a wedding in Cana when the drinks had almost run out. He showed kindness to a widow whose only son had died. He showed kindness when he fed the hungry who followed him. He showed kindness to Zacchaeus, that tax collector who was hated and despised by his neighbors. He showed kindness to a woman who was charged with adultery. He showed kindness to the thief on the cross who pleaded for his help. Kindness was so important to Jesus that he even shared stories about it, like the one that we listened to a few moments ago. And in that story, as you know, it begins with a lawyer who tried to test Jesus. He was skeptical of Jesus. And so he said, this is in verse 25, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus responded with a question of his own. "What is written in the law?" The lawyer answered him by quoting Deuteronomy and Leviticus, where it says to love God and love your neighbor. And Jesus commended him for that answer. But the lawyer was still trying to find a way to best Jesus. And so he said in verse 29, "Who's my neighbor?" Now, he was expecting Jesus to describe his neighbor as a person of a similar race and religion and political views. He was thinking that neighbors are those people that we run in similar circles with. But Jesus pointed him in a different direction by telling him a story. He said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead." Now, the lawyer was likely thinking that the guy that Jesus was describing in his story was a good Jewish man. There were no issues there for this man. But the plot thickens when Jesus said in verses 31 and 32, "Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to that place and saw him, passed by on the other side." And that probably connected to this lawyer because he had seen priests and Levites and other religious folks fail to love their neighbors. They didn't want to get their hands dirty. And so this lawyer wasn't shocked that Jesus said the priest and the Levite passed by the injured traveler and did nothing to help him. But then Jesus threw a real curveball in his story. In verse 33, he said, a Samaritan, while traveling came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. The lawyer wasn't expecting that. He wasn't expecting Jesus to speak so kindly about a stranger, and not just any stranger, but a Samaritan. Let's remember that Jews looked down on Samaritans and they spoke of them in hateful ways. They didn't see any good in them. And yet Jesus said that Samaritan bandaged the Jewish man's wounds, then took him to an inn and looked after him. The following day, before he left, he paid the innkeeper to nurse him back to health. He even said that he would come back and pay him more if that was needed. And so when we think about kindness, we certainly see it in this story. And after Jesus finished sharing his parable, he asked the lawyer in verse 36, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" Now, we don't know how long it took for the lawyer to answer, but he could clearly see that Jesus had described the Samaritan as his neighbor. But he had such a hatred for Samaritans that he couldn't even utter that word. All he could say was the one who showed him mercy. To which Jesus said, "Go and do likewise. Go and share kindness. Go and share kindness, even to the people you despise. Go and share kindness, even when it's costly to you." Richard Wurmban lived by that principle. He was a Romanian pastor who was imprisoned and tortured when his country was ruled by a communist regime. Now, one day he was sitting in his prison cell along with other people who had been tortured. It was a frigid day, and he was curled up under his blanket, just trying to warm himself. And he was looking around that prison cell, and he saw another prisoner without a blanket. He was shivering cold. At that point, he just clung even tighter to his own blanket until a thought passed through his mind. If that man were Christ, would I give him my blanket? And that's what he did. He gave his blanket to that other prisoner who needed it much more than he did. He acted like a good Samaritan. Now, we typically use the term good Samaritan to describe anyone who helps a person in need. And those things certainly deserve recognition. But a true good Samaritan is a person who acts with kindness when it's costly to himself or herself. And this is especially clear when people cross ethnic and cultural lines to help a person in need, like the Good Samaritan in our parable did. He didn't let stereotypes or prejudices get in the way of doing the right thing. He shared kindness. Now, I think one of the things we often overlook in the Samaritan is the joy that he found in being kind. Now, when we hear that the Samaritan paid the innkeeper to provide lodging and care, we think that he was just being a generous person, and he was. But he really wanted to help that wounded man. It gave him joy, and it probably made him feel good. You know, people often feel good after doing some act of kindness. Melanie Rudd, who is a professor of marketing at the University of Houston, has described those good feelings as a helper's high. You know, when we do something kind for another person, it has a way of benefiting both the giver and the receiver. And I think that explains why kindness can be contagious. You know, when one person acts kind, it has a way of rubbing off on another person. It flows from one person to another, and on and on and on it goes. And in this way, it's a fruit that lasts. Of course, the source of that kind of goodness is God. In 2 Corinthians 9, Paul wrote, God is able to provide with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. And then he adds, you will be enriched in every way for your great generosity. Paul's telling us that God's generosity rubs off on us, which then moves us to be generous and kind with others. And that creates a ripple effect. One act of kindness has a way of generating another act of kindness. You're probably familiar with the pay it forward effect, where a single act of kindness creates a chain reaction of kindness. It's like a dominoes-like phenomenon that can have a profound impact on a community because it creates a sense of connectedness. It even promotes a spirit of positivity. You know, people start doing things, kind things, to random and complete strangers who in turn do the same thing for others. Several years ago, I was eating in a Mexican restaurant with a couple other pastors. We'd gotten together to talk shop and pray with one another. And I always enjoyed those gatherings. And when we asked for our bill, our waitress told us, it's been taken care of. Now, we didn't think we heard her clearly or accurately, so we said, what do you mean it's been taken care of? And she told us that someone else had already paid for our meal. We don't know who, and waitress wouldn't tell us. But that act of kindness made our day. We didn't owe a penny. And we felt so good that we left money with the waitress to help someone else out. See, kindness is contagious. Even in situations where people can't afford to give away money, you know, they find ways, other ways to be kind. They do things like sharing a generous word or a warm smile. You know, there are so many different ways that we can practice kindness. But let's remember that the source of all kindness is God. That's where it begins. And its presence in our lives is evidence that the Holy Spirit is at work. But kindness doesn't grow and spread all by itself. It takes effort. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we should do everything we can to cultivate and nurture kindness in our lives. And it's for this reason that I invite us to ask God for opportunities to share kindness this week. And I want you to be intentional about this. Pay attention to what God may be leading you to do. And you might start today by trying to figure out who you need to thank. Is there someone at home or at work or at the grocery store that you might say, thank you, I appreciate what you do? It's important to show kindness in that way. And as you go about this week, you might run into someone who has a real big need, someone who's homeless or without food or clothing. And if you run into someone like that, how will you respond? How will you show kindness to them? And what will you do if you encounter someone who's acting in a mean and ugly way? How will you respond? I want to encourage us all to practice kindness because God has already shown us kindness through Jesus Christ. And kindness is something the world needs a lot more of. So let's do our part in spreading kindness. And by doing this, we will actually be pointing people toward God. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we thank you for the love and kindness you share with us through Jesus Christ, who embodied kindness in all he did. He shared kindness with those who were sick, angry, troubled, and hurting. He shared kindness with men and women and the rich and the poor and everyone in between. We know we should follow his example, but often we fail. Forgive us, Lord. And Lord, we pray that we'll be more intentional in practicing kindness this week. So help us to bring peace and calm into situations where there's anger. Help us to work for the healing and wholeness of our neighbors, both those who are like us and those who are not. And we pray that kindness will grow in us so that we might be more like Jesus. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. Our band is going to lead us in a couple more songs. And as we sing, I'll be in the back if any of you would like to join me there for prayer or to simply share how you sense God is moving in your life and what God might be leading you to do. But let's stand as we sing together.